Here in Satan's Eden, we are victors in the Lord Jesus Christ. How many of you enjoyed service here last night? How many of you got band-aids all over you? Wasn't the word of the Lord good? You know what I took from that message last night? God loves us enough to tell us what's wrong with us. And then that's not the end of the story. He loves us enough to tell us how to get fixed. Aren't you glad there's a fix-up? Aren't you glad there's amending? Aren't you glad there's healing? Aren't you glad there's a refuge to go to? Do you love Him with all your heart this morning? Give Him a big hand clap of praise in the house of the Lord today. Praise the Lord. Yes, it was just a tremendous message last night. I know you was blessed. It was just the grace of God to us, church. I appreciate it, don't you? You know, we could be in a church this morning, the pastor just get up and tell us what all little buttercups we are and how sweet and how precious we are, and us knowing that ain't none of it the truth. Ain't a bit of it the truth. We all have flaws. We all have our problems, our situations. But I'm glad that I'm not giving up and looking to that side. I'm looking to the promise. He told me that I'm going to make it. I read the back of the book. You know what? Terry Horn, you win. Brother Wes, you win. Brother Fred, you win. You're winners this morning. Why don't you shake somebody's hand, greet them in the name of the Lord. Tell them, welcome to the house of God, you winners. Oh, yes, now I'm gonna. He's already seen that I would. Everything for my good. He walks
If you believe it, say amen. If you believe it, say praise the Lord.
Well, I'm going to let you be seated for just a bit this morning. We've got several prayer requests that we want to let you know about today. Certainly want to take these knees to the Lord. Brother Abe Dykes says, please keep Brother John Shrum, who has cancer, in your prayers. Also pray for Brother Abe's nephew, Henry Ramirez, who is in critical condition due to alcohol and drug abuse. So we want to remember those requests today that the Lord would be mindful. Want to remember the family and the church family also, Brother Homer Brown in Florida. He passed away this week, so Brother Homer was just a good brother, just really loved the Lord. And well, we just want to remember the church family, also his immediate family, that the Lord would just comfort their hearts. Also want to pray for the families of Sister Cynthia Parker and Sister Tammy Dixon, who lost their dad. He passed away this week down in Louisiana. So we want to pray for those folks, that the Lord would just be with them during this time. Prayer request for Sister Paula Taylor. The Lord knows all about that need. We're just committed unto the Lord today. Brother Joel Moyer and his family going to be having court hearings again on the 15th, the 18th, the 21st, and the 23rd of this month. They're just asking that we would keep that family in prayer, that all these legal situations will be resolved. We just commit them unto the Lord. God's able to move according to his divine purpose, and we just commit it unto the Lord. Brother Gary and Sister Lona says, please keep our best friend Pete in prayer. He's having a rough day. Also, Gary's doctor at the VA, Dr. Avanda, requests prayer for his wife who has had a stroke. God bless and thank you. So we want to remember those needs today, that the Lord would be mindful. Sister Cook offers this testimony. I immediately felt relief from my pain symptoms after I got prayed for last night. Today they are much better. So she wants to praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord this morning. I want to continue to pray for Brother Eugene Kennedy. He was admitted to the Franklin Woods Hospital yesterday. Also pray for Sister Janet. Let's just pray that the Lord would be mindful of that family, that situation, that God would just let him receive his healing. Now, I know God's more than able to do it, don't you? Brother Amos says to pray for his sister, Anna Mae. She has several physical needs, blockage in her neck and gallstones. So let's remember that prayer request as we pray today, that the Lord would be mindful of that situation. Brother Gene Littleton wants us to remember his sister, Vella Baines, in prayer. She is in the hospital, has been diagnosed with lymphoma, not doing well. Also, my niece requested prayer for her. They are doing much better after about 11 weeks in a coma. So we praise the Lord for that. Thank you for your prayers. Also, continue to remember Brother Gene's family, that the Lord will bring them back to the house of God. Well, he's able to do that. We know that, don't we? Amen. Alexander Benton sends this in to please pray for a friend at school that is slowly losing his vision. He's going through a lot of pain and needs help from the Lord. So we certainly want to pray for that request today. The Lord would be mindful. Sylvia Barham says to please pray for my brother and his family. Jim McKinney, his mother-in-law, passed away. So let's remember that family in prayer as we pray today. Alex Goulds had the stent removed this morning. She still has the stone and infection, will remain in the hospital for IVs and antibiotics. Please continue to pray for her. Her baby is doing good, so praise the Lord for that. Let's just pray for Sister Alex, that the Lord would be mindful of her. I want to pray for Brother Daniel Nunley. Has been very congested, still suffering from that cough. And he has an appointment at Vanderbilt Hospital on June the 5th. So let's pray for the Nunley family, Sister Linda, Brother Daniel, just precious, precious people that we love in the Lord, and ask God to give them healing in their bodies. All the unspoken prayer requests today, I know there's many needs among us. Do you believe we're serving a God that's bigger than all of our problems? Let's stand together one more time, if you will. Brother Rob, if you'd get ready to pray this morning over these requests. Let's sing that little chorus one more time. Do you really believe that you're going to make it? Do you really believe you're going to make it? We had about 14 hands that went up. Rest of you don't even know. Do you believe you're going to make it? Somebody say, by His grace,
We will make it. Give him one more hand clap of praise if you love him with all your heart. Amen. Oh, yes, now I'm gonna make it. He's already said.
Mother's Day and all the needs we have for our mothers. My goodness, how dear it is if you have your mother here with you. My mother, as most of you know, has had MS for many years. She's coming to live with us for about a month until her home is done here. So I would request prayer for her. If you have your mother in this assembly, how dear that is. I wish that I had mine. And who can say what can happen as time goes forward, but let's remember our mothers today. Dear Lord Jesus, there are serious requests that are put here. There are so many needs. There are mothers that are young, mothers that have been with us for many years. I pray, Lord God, all the needs. It takes an element of faith to bring forth these things on paper, Lord, and that's the step that they make towards you. I know it is your desire to answer these prayers, Lord, for our good, and we commit the decision, Lord, into your hands for our good, for our benefit, Lord. These things are so dear unto our hearts. Lord, we pray and we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity and the knowledge and the wisdom, Lord, to bring before you the requests of our hearts, that you will hold no good thing from us. And by your grace, Lord, we're saved. By your grace, we're fed as sheep, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for our pastor. I pray, Lord God, that you let him know how dear it is to our hearts as he feeds us with things that are needful for us in our walk. We want to finish this thing that you begun. We cannot stop anything we didn't start. And we thank you, Lord, for grace most of all. I thank you for the day that you have created. I thank you for your peace that in the world that's tearing itself apart, Lord, these prayer requests are made so that you can have joy in our hearts, knowing full well every good gift coming from you, Lord, whether it be spiritual or natural, is your grace alone to us, for you love us more than we love you. And I thank you, Lord, for that very fact. In Jesus' name, amen.
Brother Rob, God bless you, buddy. Praise the Lord. Amen. You can't never have too many. Amen. Well, it's good to be in church. Let me make a couple of announcements real quickly this morning. Ushers, be getting ready just in a minute to come. Well, you can be coming on. This won't take that long. Teen and young adult Bible study tomorrow night in the fellowship hall from 6 until 8. So remember that. Brother West wanted you to remember that. And we have got some congratulations that we want to pass out this morning. First of all, we want to say Happy Mother's Day to every mother in our assembly today. May God bless your heart. Let's give them a nice hand this morning if you would. And one more announcement. We're going to wait till everybody's seated to make that announcement so you can. Let's sing this song. Brother Daniel, see if you can find I Would Not Be Denied. After a service like you heard last night, you ought to be looking for the devil. That's the truth. You may have got hurt and wounded and beat up a little bit, but I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot of salve that was put on you after the beating that we took. I appreciate a man of God that'll tell me the truth. I don't know about you. I just appreciate a man of God that'll tell me the truth. You know, if you hear the truth and you always tell the truth, you never have to change it. You never have to change your story. We've got truth. We can tell the truth. Don't have to apologize for this truth. It's an honor to believe this message. It's an honor to be identified with the people of God. It's an honor to be identified with Malachi 4. It's an honor. It's a privilege. Yes, it is.
When pains of death seized on my soul, unto the Lord I cried. Oh, till Jesus came and made me whole, I would not be denied. No, I would not be denied. No, I would not be denied. Oh, till Jesus came and made me whole, I would not be denied. Now as Jacob in the days of old, I wrestle with the Lord, and instead with a courage bold, I stood up on his word.
As the choir gets ready to come this morning to sing, Sister Cindy Hunt and all the choir that's going to sing this morning in the service, if you'd come on, Brother Joel Brown, if you'd come on the platform, be getting ready to sing after they sing. If you're visiting with us today, God bless you. We're glad to have you. All those that are streaming, we're glad to have them too. Somebody say, God bless them. God bless them. Let's sing a little bit of this morning. I'm one of them. I'm glad I am, aren't you? Amen.
I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. Are you one of them? Are you one of them?
God bless you. You can be seated this morning. We appreciate this choir, don't we? Sister Cindy and all the work that goes into these folks singing, it is appreciated. I want you to know that. It's appreciated. Thank you. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Now, as one more announcement that we want to make. Last weekend and through this week, even maybe Friday and Saturday night, we've had a lot of graduates. Maybe you're going to graduate in a couple of weeks, week or so, whenever that would be next week. I'd like for all of our college and high school graduates, if you've graduated or you're fixing to, I'd like for you to stand this morning. Amen. Everybody stand. That's going to graduate high school. You've already graduated. Or you're going to be graduating next week. Now some of you waited, you got big old families before you ever graduated. But we're still proud of every one of you. We love you to death. Give them a nice hand this morning. We certainly do. We certainly appreciate you. God bless you. God bless every one of you. We kind of like this guy right here a little bit too, don't we?
Amen. Praise the Lord. God is good. Amen. Happy Mother's Day. I want to not sing this song for my queen. I don't want to sing it because of her. Because everything, I tell her all the time, honey, we get so many compliments. And I'm going to go ahead and say it this way. I have wonderful children. And the compliments that I get from you all sometimes is just, it's humbling. It's overwhelming. But I tell her, I said, Tamika, it's all because of you. And the prophet told me, I don't know what you heard him say, but he told me, you look for character. Young men, if you're not married yet, you look for character. Because that beauty will fade and things will go to sagging and looking bad and you'll wonder, what have I done? But if you get a hold of character, because you're looking toward to your future and what she will do for you. Amen. This is one of my favorite songs. I call it the Boo Devil song. And I sing it because of her, because as the priest in my home, as the shepherd over my little flock, I have to know that I'm being led properly. And this is my testimony. Jesus, keep me near the cross, there oppressed, precious fountain, free to all a healing stream flows beyond the mountain. Here's where I want to stay. Near the cross, near the cross, be my glory ever till my wretched soul shall find rest beyond the river, near the cross, a trembling soul, love and mercy found. The bride and morning star. You know what it did? It shed its beams and brought life to me. And I want to be found near the cross, near the cross. That old river. This may be wrong, but I feel it in my spirit. If you can't help me, don't try to stop me. Move out of my way. Don't try to block me. I got a race to run, and I'm running by faith. I'm gonna see God's face. If you can help me, don't try to stop me. Move out of my way. Don't you try to block me. Got a race to run, and I'm running by faith at the finishing line. God's faith. Now listen, I've been running for Jesus a mighty long time. I've been running both the night and day. I don't have time for idle talk. It may cause me to lose this race. If you can't help me, please don't stop me. You better move out of my way. Don't try to block.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Brother Michael Bailey asked us to make this final announcement. Today will be the last day to sign up for Brother Seth, Sister Caitlin's wedding. If you're going, you need to sign up in the library on the sheet over there and let them be able to get a head count. So remember that. And that's all of the announcements. Man of God, we appreciate you.
Appreciate you all. Appreciation works both ways, don't it? Amen. Amen. Let's turn to the Song of Solomon, if you will, again this morning, chapter 6. Before we do, I certainly wish all of our mothers a happy Mother's Day. Trust you'll have a blessed day with your children, your grandchildren. I certainly wish mine was here, or I could tell her how much you love her. Also, we're going to be adding a couple more deacons to serve the church here. Brother Joe Harrah, Brother Nathan Davis. And what we're going to do is let these brothers kind of work in a trial period, so to speak, for about 3 months. Not so much that you can see if you like them, but just if they like you. Just to make sure that they fit and they feel comfortable in doing this sort of thing. So we'll give them that period for about 3 months, maybe around August or something like that. And then the church will be able to vote on it, of course, to make sure that that's what's pleasing everybody. We Since you have kind of a controversial pastor, for whatever reason, I don't know why people think that, but most churches have a couple of deacons. That's all they need. We have to have them in the front, in the back, in the middle. We have to have them. They all carry Uzis. I just don't see it. I just don't understand what in the world. But we certainly appreciate all of our brothers and servants, don't we? Brother Daniel Nunley had talked to me some time back, actually, maybe about stepping back from his position. And after Brother Daniel, of course, has gotten sick, and we certainly appreciate all the years of service that Brother Daniel's given to the kingdom of God and to the people of God. So after it hit Brother Daniel, he certainly realized that he probably wasn't going to be able to go back in that position. So we certainly appreciate our brothers being willing to assume this responsibility. So you see a couple more different brothers there just to kind of let you know what's going on there. Song of Solomon, chapter 6, verse 3. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. He feedeth among the lilies. Thou art beautiful, O my love. And the Hebrew word there is companion, my companion. As Tirzah, one of the northern cities of Israel, Canaanite city conquered by Joshua, became the capital city of the northern kingdom. As beautiful, O my love, as Tirzah, comely as Jerusalem, terrible as an army with banners. Turn away thine eyes from me, for they have overcome me. Thy hair is as a flock of goats that appear from Gilead. To read this, you would think she is so flawless, so perfect, that she's, in his eyes, absolutely complete. And yet, looking at her in the human side, she's so different than this. As I said last night, you are a beautiful mess. Your soul, absolutely a work of God, and left in a human body that is nothing but torment. That's right. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, as we approach you today, we are indeed grateful that we can come before the throne of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you, through your mercy, has given us a personal invitation that we would be able to respond to you. We ask today, Lord, that you would help us as we endeavor to break the bread of life. Lord Jesus, I ask that you would help me to move out of the way. My Father, I've studied, I've prayed, I've thought, I've considered, I've done everything that I know to do. So now I present myself to you, Lord. I'm not capable, I'm not able, but I am willing. So it's all I know that we can do, is to present ourselves, Lord, as vessels that you can be able to speak through. But I pray that you wouldn't just speak through me, but may you help the people to be able to hear. Lord, as we spoke last night, help them to not hear the word through complexes and inferiorities, but may their ears be anointed by the Holy Ghost. You see these prayer calls, Lord, that I'm going to put in my pocket as I preach today. You know the needs. I ask that you be mindful. Move among us today, we pray in Jesus' name. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. Let me read to you again, if you don't mind, the quote and question answers about the kookaburra. How can I take a kookaburra and make a grain of wheat out of it? It's impossible for me to do it. The only way it can be is because inside that kookaburra has been transmitted from a kookaburra wheat, a kookaburra to a germ called wheat life. Then you bury that kookaburra and it'll produce, notice now, a grain of wheat. That's right. Because there's been a life of wheat put in the kookaburra. And the life of the kookaburra has been taken out. Now these words are very important in the way that the prophet uses this example. To me it's absolutely perfect. It is a perfect example of a person that is born again. As long as you keep it in the right way, the way that it said it. So the life, the nature, the outside, the shell, all of that, it must be kept in its right place. The life of the cucklebur has been taken out, but the nature of the cucklebur is still sticky. The life has been taken out, but the nature. Now watch, it separates the nature on the outside different from the nature of the soul. That was what we were born with. That was part, of course, that we received after Genesis 6 when the sons of God saw the daughters of men. And we know that even before that time, there were two separate seed lines and there was a righteous lineage upon the earth even after the fall. Adam was still a son of God even after he fell. He never became serpent seed. Adam never died serpent seed. He was a son of God, reconciled by the blood of the Lamb. But whenever we're looking at natures now, we know that there was a nature of the soul which was absolutely of the devil. And then whenever we're born again, God transmits the life of a wheat life, which is the regeneration of the power of God in our soul. But it leaves the cucklebur nature, the human part, on the outside. Notice now he said, and it will be this until this new life has fully been developed out of the ground and raised up again. When it comes forth, then it's no more cucklebur, but wheat. Again, he repeats himself, but wheat, but what a cheer on the earth, out of the earth, and a cucklebur, it's still sticky, but it's got the nature on the inside of it, which is wheat. Now notice how he separates it again. So the outside is sticky. The outside is carnal. The outside is sin. Your body is sin. I don't care how much Holy Ghost you've got in your soul, your body is still sin. That's right. But notice he said, and a cucklebur is still sticky, but it's got the nature on the inside of it, wheat. And as long as you're in this life, you're going to be sticky and have a carnal nature that's going to bother you as long as you live. But the inside of you, you're born again. And when you're raised up, you're in the likeness of Christ and all the sin is gone from you. See, that's the thing. And then, of course, we come to the Indian chief to where he was asking about the struggle going on within himself. And one dog, a white dog, was said, and the other, a white black dog, down the lower part of that quote. That just depends on the warring of the body that's in you. It depends on which one you cater to, which nature you cater to, the carnal nature after the things of the world, or the spiritual nature after the things of God that does it. Now, as we looked at it last night, each one of us are so different in our makeup and the things that we receive from our parents, the things that we receive from the atmosphere around us, even from things that happened to us when we were children, when we were being raised up. Many of us were born with complexes and fears and inferiorities. We absolutely had nothing to do with those things in the way that they came to us. We were born with it. But yet many of us have received these things after the way we have been treated in life or the way that people have done us. And by hearing the things of the Word of God, if we're not careful, we will hear, we will fellowship, and we will do all of that instead of through the channel of the Holy Ghost. We will pull things through our fears, our inferiorities, and our complexes. Now, a complex is a very difficult thing to describe. As a matter of fact, that's why the very meaning of the word itself is used as an adjective to be able to describe rocket science. It's used to describe many, many things, because it is complex. So it means that it has different avenues that makes it what it is. So complexes are something that's inside of human beings, but they come from various things and they have different attributes which associate themselves with it. But it's not just psychological alone, neither is it just physical, but it is also emotional. So our complexes are so related to us in memories and things that we have done, and it can be things that can come. It can be so simple of somebody says something to offend you and hurt you, or it can be very, very traumatic. Many people who have complexes today come from great trauma of things that happen in their life. Now, that don't change your soul. As a matter of fact, it has absolutely nothing to do with your soul at all. In your soul, you can be a beautiful son or daughter of God that is beautified with salvation, and yet on the outside, you can be one of the most complex people that live on the earth. That's right. Now, a lot of times they say, well, God made me this way. Don't blame that junk on God. A lot of the stuff, the way we are humanly, has nothing to do with the creation of God. What you are by creation is what God is doing on the inside. Now, when God gave the law, the multiplication of cells, and the ability of a man and woman to come together to procreate, that truly is of the original creation of God, but it has nothing to do with the spiritual creation, what God is making inside of you and I as new creatures. So when we say, well, I've got a temper, and I'm this and that and the other, well, God must like it. God made me that way. No, he never. That is what you receive by trait, by DNA, by generics, also by things that happened to you whenever you were growing up, on the job, and whatever more. So much of what we are humanly, the Lord wants to bring that subject to the Spirit of God that lives inside of us. So don't hide behind that old thing, well, God made me this way. Now, what's this? These quotes, I found them this morning. I thought they were very interesting. This lady suffers with an extremely nervous condition. And then, too, she's wanting prayer for her eyes, too. Because her eyes are getting dimmer and dimmer. They're going out. Now, listen to this. Here is a man that, by vision and by discernment, is going to be able to look into the body by vision. He's going to be able to go. Now, remember, at this time, they did not have MRI. They did not have CT scans. They did not have much of the machinery that we have today. But God had it then. Now, listen to this. It's a hardening of the nerve in the eye. The optical nerve is dying, which is shutting off the sight. But you're all upset about something. Now, can you imagine a man standing there with human eyeballs like you and I have? He has a human intelligence. He has a human vocal cords like you and I have. But all of a sudden, he breaks into a realm of vision. And he's able to go inside this woman's eye and look inside this woman's eye and see the optic nerve. Now, he was like me and you. He didn't even know what an optic nerve was. But it wasn't him doing the talking. It was the creator of the optic nerve. So the Holy Ghost had now got him under control in the fourth dimension, which prophets see their visions from that dimension. So here he sees the optic nerve as the optic nerve is going dead, and by doing so, it is causing the woman to lose her sight. Now this is physical, but once it goes into another realm as well. You're all upset about something, and you're weary. I see you shake your head or something. You wonder sometime if you're actually saved. You've had trouble with that. I'd say more than likely she ain't the only one. Any of y'all ever had trouble with that? Oh, but I love this right here. You've had trouble with that. That's true. You've doubted your experience of being saved. But I tell you now, you are. That's better than a Walmart guarantee, brother. I tell you now, you are. But this was caused by a call. Some kind of a shock. Now listen to this. This was caused by a call. Some kind of a shock you've had. Some news. Now, who knows what the man is seeing in the vision? Maybe the woman picking up the phone, the receiver, and whenever she does it, it's like something just shocks her and she goes into this trauma and he sees her in the vision and he's trying to relate what he sees. This was caused by a call, some kind of a shock that you've had, some news, or something that shocked you all at once and caused this. Now I say again, for those of you who want me to leave this message and these people here and all the folks around the world who are following this message and you want us to follow you, then please stand to your feet and do the same. And if you can't, shut your fat mouth. If you want me to leave, you got to offer me something better. And I won't accept words. I want to see supernatural. Now, notice this, some kind of a shock that you've had, some news or something that shocked you all at once, because this, I think it was a death of your husband last fall. Now, this is in August, so it's been almost a year. A death of your husband last fall. God bless your heart, lady. Let's move the sadness. Praise be to God. Now, of course, this woman was not born with this. This was not brought on by someone else that had said something to offend her, but it has altered this woman. Now, watch this. Let's move the sadness. Everything will be all right. Merciful God, as I stand before this dear woman, and knowing that there is a sad spirit around her. Now, isn't it amazing that this comes because of this shock? So now she's nervous, she's got this eye problem, and she has this shock. Now, because the weakness was there because of all the trauma and things that has happened to her, a sad spirit came out of hell and has been hanging around this woman. Is it wrong for folks to grieve over a loved one? If you don't cry over your husband, I check my Holy Ghost. Either that or he's a bad guy. If you don't cry over your wife or a daughter or something, but you know, there has to come a time that you have to go on with God. Well, praise the Lord. And I realize, and you realize as well, that there is then the potential of the grief being overextended beyond what normally should be. And when you see that, you cannot keep from wondering if a sad spirit has not come and attached itself to the situation that the individual has been shocked in. And by the shock and the correlation of these spirits and these other realms, this spirit is taking advantage of this individual. Oh, I imagine about right now that devil is shaking in his boots. I'm not sure that anybody ever even knew up to this time there was such a thing as a sad spirit. You won't find in the Bible. I've not found it where Luther said anything about it, or Wesley, or the rest of them. So this was the time of open vision of Malachi 4. God had an aspect, an outlet by which vision could break in and be able to, take the cover off of these devils. Now, there is a sad spirit around her. I ask for thy divine mercy and guidance. Laying my hands on her, I charge that sad spirit to leave the woman. Praise be to God. Well, what do you think? You think he left? Christ lives. Christ can no more take back a word than he said than nothing, because he's God. He knows everything before he says it. I condemn the spirit that would harm this woman in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You mean a sad spirit can harm an individual? Isn't it amazing that looking at the optic nerve, that he did not call that a devil, and yet we know that it was the nervous condition which had come, but yet the predominant thing that was now affecting this sister was because she was so sad, brought on by this terrible shock of losing her husband. And yet it was not so much the optic part. My, she's losing her eyes. She's losing her vision. And yet the main attention and focus was what? Being sad. No matter how much God is a healer, if you walk around sad and depressed and feel like he don't love you, nobody else loves you, no matter how much you say, well, I know he can do it, I know he can, I know he's God, but do you know he'll do it for you? And sadness can keep us from so many of the promises of God. Oh my.
Notice again, another discernment. But you are one of your main troubles, and your main trouble is that it's a nervous condition. You're bothered, which is giving you a stomach trouble. You have a stomach trouble and a nervous condition. The nervousness gives you the stomach trouble, which causes sourness in the bottom of the stomach. It's a peptic ulcer right in the bottom. Now, wonder how he knew that. The same eyes that can see an optic nerve can see an ulcer. Y'all, wouldn't doctors like to have this x-ray machine of Malachi 4? You imagine not only telling you that you have it, but telling you where it is. This vision is greater than x-ray vision. In the bottom of the stomach, it's a peptic. Now, he's not even going to tell where it is, but he's going to identify which ulcer it is in the ulcer family. It is a peptic ulcer right in the bottom of the stomach. Grease and things make you belch up. You imagine the vision as he watches this woman after she eats, and she stands there before him in the vision, and he watches her eat and hears her belch. This same Almighty God would show him these fine details. He's just concerned about you today and your needs. If he's concerned about a woman belching, what about some of you that feel so down and so discouraged? My God is a mighty God. But one thing to me that makes him so mighty is when he shows us his concern with the small things of life. Grease and things make you belch up and stuff. And then I see you turn away from foods at the table. So now God moves him in the vision, moves him out of her stomach, up to where he's standing outside the body, and hears her belch, and now he sees her sitting at a table and eating with daughters or friends or whoever more, and sees her push food away from the table because she can't eat it. Well, I don't know what you'd do in a situation like that, but now my faith would have been about Goliath tall. A God who can tell me that. And remember, that man was not God, but God used that man to build people's faith. Then I see you turn away from many foods at the table. That's exact, he says. And you've had a great shock that's just come to you. You've had a sorrow. It's a death. It's your husband that's just went on. It's made you nervous. That is right, isn't it? The sister says, yes. I believe you'll be all right now. Go eat your supper. Praise be to God. Now, these were situations brought on by extensive and deep sorrow. Had it not been by divine intervention of a gift of God in this man's life, it may have eventually killed these women. But God, rich in mercy. Let me read to you what complexes are. A complex is a core pattern of emotions, memories, perceptions, and wishes in the personal unconscious organized around such a common theme, such as a power or status. Now, this is what a complex is. A core pattern of emotions, memories, perceptions, and wishes. So it can be from desiring to be something that you never allowed to be. It can be from never being loved by a father or by a mother. It can be from never reaching a promotion on your job, even though you may be the hardest working guy there. And yet you're constantly skipped over for whatever reason. and it can start building a complex. Then with that complex comes emotions, and it can come also into memory. It can come to where it embeds itself in your perceptions. It may be inwardly first of your perception about yourself. Well, I'm no good. I'll never amount to anything. I don't know why in the world God would even save me. Or it can be external to where you're going to say, well, nobody's good enough. I'll tell you one thing. I ain't fooling with nobody. I'm staying away from everybody. I don't have to have nobody. Them kind right there is really dangerous. I don't need nobody. I'll tell you one thing. I'm just sick and tired of people. Every time I deal with people, I get hurt. People's letting me down. People's disappointed me. Come on, church. Then what do? We go to associating emotions. Now, what is a person doing when they're having that attitude? They are expressing that complex with an emotional tie from the inside. Listen to them, and you can hear their real hurt. You can hear their pain. I don't want nobody. I don't need no friends. They're not telling the truth. They are on an emotional roller coaster. If they didn't need it, they would not be giving vent to it the way they are. They do need it. Each of us need one another. I said we need one another as the saints of God more than we've ever needed one another. And of all the times I believe that Satan is going to try to cause such things, it will be in this end time that we're living, to try to put division in things among us. In order to embed this in our unconscious, now for many folks it's not really actually that they sit around thinking about it all the time, but it is in the unconscious level. It forms in the brain. I told you last night it calls branches from the memory stems, and it comes out from the cells that's on the inside. Scientists just found it a few years ago with a very, very unique, rare, tiny microscope where they go inside the cells and watch the cells as they go to recalling from the memory. From there, we'll run down the dendrites. It causes emotional outbursts of joy or tears or whatever more. And it comes, all of us, this is who we are physically. This is a part of us that has not been changed even though we're born again. Praise the Lord. This is the part of you that you live with. This is the part of you that robs you of your joy, robs you of your peace. Listen how strong it is. You just imagine somebody hates you once, and they don't hate you, but you imagine they do. And you just keep thinking, they don't like me. And the first thing, you'll be shunning that person. Now, of course, I realize none of y'all here are guilty of this. Never have been, never will be, no doubt. But there's some sorry folks that stream these services. I reckon I'm going to have to start having just regular services for the streamers and preach to them all the things they need, and then come and have special services for you glorified saints here at Happy Valley. How many has ever imagined somebody had something against you? All right, we're starting a liar prayer line right now. Has it been real to you? Of course. Were you totally convinced they had something against you? And yet, did some of you actually go to that individual and ask them? And they said emphatically, no, Brother Dowell, I ain't got nothing against you. It was so strong in you, you believed it over what they said. Oh, he told me he didn't have nothing against me, but I don't believe it. No, sir, I don't believe it. It's as real to me. That's how real these things can be. And you go to believing a lie. Right? Now, you imagine they do, and you just keep thinking they don't like me. And the first thing, you'll be shunning that person when they haven't done nothing to you. And after a while, it becomes so a reality to you. Now, remember, the devil cannot create, but he knows we can. And not only children of God, all human beings have the ability to create. As a matter of fact, we all do. Every day of our lives, we add to the expansion of our creation. That creation is the world that we live in. Sinners have that ability because they're, even though they're fallen, they're still in the image of what God made man in the beginning. Oh, you didn't know the prophet said that? Yes, over and over again. Man in his fallen state is still in the image of God. Sinners can create the atmosphere that they live in. That's why you get around to go to cussing and talking all kinds of stuff and living every kind of thing in the world. You don't enjoy being around them. If you're saved, you don't. Because why? The atmosphere they create. Each of us are creators. And we begin to sing, then this brother don't like me. This sister don't like me. I'll tell you what, I've noticed every time Brother Donnie mentions Judas, he looks right at me. Every time he says something about Pharaoh, he looks right at me. And you know that smile that he has on his face? If you notice that, honey, I hadn't noticed it. Boy, next service she will. Why? Because now it's become such a reality to you, and that devil's going to jump off of you and jump onto your wife. And then you tell all 14 kids, and then they'll all start noticing. The next thing you know, none of you ain't coming back to church because of a figment of your imagination. But this is how strong it is. Is the Holy Ghost not at work? Yes, He is. But He's working within the realm and the sphere by which God gave Him. And until we learn how we are and be able to submit ourselves to the power inside of us, we are not going to get any better. Praise God. Well, I don't like preaching this hard stuff, but there's one thing that gives me consolation. The Lord led me to do it, and lives is going to be changed by it. So y'all pray with me, and we'll get through it. Now watch. He says, after a while, it becomes so a reality to you actually believe that the person doesn't like you. Now think how real that can be to us, and we're actually believing a lie. Now, this to me is how scary this is. So if you believe that lie, where will you stop? What about another doctrinal lie? What about this lie and that lie? Because you've opened yourself now to a lie. But if there's anybody you're going to believe, it's yourself. Because you have such confidence in you. Notice now, and you might bawl them out. Or say something to them, for instance, your wife or your husband or some neighbor or something like that, when the person is absolutely innocent of any ill thing. It's because that you just imagine it so till it become a reality to you. Can you imagine? Our imagination is so powerful that it can create out of a lie an illusion like this. Watch this, in 1960, I am determined by the help of God never to be negative on anything anymore. To blast my heart out and remind me, no matter what it cost, to be sincere and down to the bottom of it. If a prophet of God had to blast out his heart, what are we going to have to use on ours? You imagine, this is 1960. Think of what evils have expanded to this. Now, men just educate themselves, so they educate themselves away from one another. And they get complexes. You don't get no complex by the blood of Jesus Christ. You get love. That's right. You get love. Not a complex. Not, I'm a little bigger than somebody else. A little better than somebody else. And no, this is one of the message people find. No, a little more than somebody else. A preacher who projects that has a major complex. And folks who believe it, oh, I'm more spiritual than anybody in the church, you've got a complex. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Let's break into the fourth dimension again. Here's a lady sitting right back up here in the midst of the people right here. See that light over? She is suffering with a skin trouble. Mrs. Pittman, you're from Owensboro. If you're a stranger, wave your hand. Is those things true? Wave your hand. God healed you. I never seen the woman, yet only in a vision. That you might know, right over from you is a woman named Ellis. Mrs. Ellis, a young woman. She has female trouble. She's a stranger also. If that's right, wave your hand. Is that your mother sitting next to you there? It's a lady sitting there suffering with a fear, a complex of fear upon her. If that's right, raise up your hand, lady. All right, the fear is gone. You can go home and be well. I challenge you to believe. The next quotes have nothing to do with complexes, but they were so good when I read them this morning, I thought we'd do 1, 2, 3 on the devil and read them right along with it. Way back in the back, in the corner, way back, a man from Minnesota with back trouble. Glory to God. Your name is Mr. Carson. Stand up on your feet. Your back trouble is gone. Jesus Christ makes you well. Right back here, a lady suffering. She's from out of town. She's from a place called Blue Island. She has heart trouble. That's near Chicago. Well, thank you for that geographical point, Lord. Because I wasn't sure where that was. But thank you for rectifying her, straightening it out for us. That's near Chicago. Mrs. Braden, raise up, accept your healing, go home and be well. In the name of Jesus Christ, are you believing? And the congregation says, amen. What about it in this section? You know that's the Messiah. Amen. Notice the title of this sermon, The Message of Grace. The Messiah had arrived. William Branham was not the Messiah, but the Lord Jesus was the Messiah. And may I say, he's still on the earth today in the form of the Holy Ghost, living in Messiahs. Somebody behind me. Praying, paragraph 274, over in a room. It's a young fella, lightheaded, praying for a cousin out in Kansas, caught cancer. Somebody behind me, praying over in a room. He couldn't even see him, but you can't hide from fourth dimension vision. Praying for a cousin out in Kansas, got cancer. Come forward to the door. Oh, Lord, if I, it's a good thing I didn't live there, I'd have tore the door down. You imagine sitting in that congregation, the prophet with the people to his back, and tells that person that, and they step out the door and said, it's me. Praise God, it's me. I was the one. I was praying for my cousin in Kansas. He's got cancer. Glory to God. Come forward to the door. Have faith in God. You believe? Elmer. That was some connection with you. I see your dad sitting there, his wife, high blood pressure. If you believe, God will heal you. I don't know that, right, isn't it? You believe with all your heart. You believe. Do you believe Jesus Christ is Messiah? Congregation says, amen. Do you believe his presence is here? Amen. Hallelujah. I was called in a scene or a little something going on, a fine young man, very fine boy. He was going with a little girl, very fine little girl out of a fine family, and this boy all of a sudden came up with some kind of an idea, and he just walked away and did something wrong to the little girl. Promised as much to do a certain thing that he didn't do it. And instead of coming to the girl and apologizing like a gentleman should do, it just wasn't in him to do it. The father and the mother called me to the scene and said, but we desire to know what is wrong with our boy. Now, it's not easy to do sometimes, but you must be truthful and honest. Therefore, the boy was a Christian as far as a believer. He'd repented and been baptized and had his position among the believers, but yet had not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, no matter how much he thought he had. Now, let me just enlighten you a little bit before we go any further with this quote. This boy we're fixing to read about is Brother Branham's nephew. Now, this young fellow's parents, his mother is German. No reflection on the German, but there's a strain in that family. And that is, they'll just sit and you can talk to them and they'll just stare you right in the face. Must be some family members that come to church here. How many of y'all's Germans? This girl's sister, the mother of this boy, her sister. I'd come down the street many morning and this young lady be sitting out in the yard and I'd say, good morning to you. She'd just look at me. I'd stop and I'd say, sure a fine morning. She'd just stand, look right at you. An intelligent woman. And I'd say, come up, see us sometime. She'd just stand and look. Well, her brothers are that way. Father and mother's that way. Now, the father of the boy is strictly an Irishman. A Branham Irishman. Moody, high-tempered, high-strung. I didn't realize that's many Branhams that come here either. Well, I've had a revelation this morning. The biggest part of our congregation is Branhams and Germans. Now watch how Brother Branham words this. That's his whole family like that, except for one other out of the family, which was himself. That'd be strange, wouldn't it? Talking about that. One other out of the family converted. Now in this, the father and the mother both are Christians filled with the Holy Ghost. But you can't pass the Holy Ghost to your children. And they brought up this young man in the way of the Lord. And now the young man is about 17 or 18 years old, something along there. Very fine kid. Been a real model boy at home, nice kid. And he's got a brother that's just vice versa. But the girl's the mother's family lives close to a fine church. You think they'd ever come over there? No, they know it's right. But it's just not in them to ask forgiveness. Or pardoning. They just won't do it. It's just not in them. What a strain to be born with. So here from this mixture of this woman and Brother Branham's brother comes this boy. So he makes a promise to this girl, doesn't carry it through. Now his mom and dad come to Brother Branham. Now this is his nephew. This is the way Brother Branham dealt with his family. He didn't make it, oh, he's a Branham. He's fine. Don't worry. No, she's totally wrong. Absolutely totally wrong. Nobody blames a Branham. You devil. You hypocrite. Branham's is just as much fault as anybody else's. They're humans. Oh my. It's just not in them to ask forgiveness or pardoning. They just won't do it. It's just not in them. Now the genes of the father and the mother of this boy, no matter how much they are converted, still remains the flesh that's been interbred out to this boy. Therefore, the boy has got a complex in him. My goodness. Just like from his mother's family. And they are not forgiving. They will not apologize. And that's where the boy stands. Now, I said to the father, no matter how much you've raised him, look at you, out of your family, all of them. Drunks and fighting and shooting and cutting and so forth. Sounds like some of my family. And some of yours and yours and yours and yours. Now look at your family to the mother. Bunch of people sit there and won't speak, very independent, so forth, irreverent to religion. But I said, it's not you. You're the only one of your sisters and brothers. You're sweet and kind and forgiving. What does that? You're a tree. You're a part of the family tree. Yet you have received the Holy Ghost.
Glory.
That's the thing that made you tender and sweet. Well, if it made her tender and sweet and makes you mean and rough, there's something wrong. Now, a lot of folks will never, never agree to this next statement. It's not your people anymore. I love my mother, I love my father, my brothers and my sister, but my friend, I love my God above everybody else. Some folks will sell their soul for their family. They'll compromise what they believe for their family. Don't tell me you're born again with that attitude. If you're born again, you realize your true family is the family of God. If your family don't make it, oh, Brother Donnie, I don't even want to go to heaven if my mom ain't there. There's something wrong with your thinking. I don't want to go to heaven if my daddy ain't there. One of these days, you'll realize in the final phase of the change, when we move into the rapture, you'll realize that daddy, if he was not bride, you'll no longer even associate with him as your father. You'll no longer even associate with that daughter of yours as being your daughter. You will be totally severed from time and locked back into eternity again with your real family. Believe it or not, the saints of God that you're going to church with, that are filled with the Holy Ghost, that's your real family. That's the true family of God. I said to the boy, look at your family. Practically all of them drunks. How moody, high-tempered, high-strung. You're not. You're kind, forgiving. What is it? The Holy Spirit. You're no more what you are. It's Christ in you. Now, that's the same thing that has to happen to your son. And the father raised up and said, my son went to the altar. He was baptized correctly in the name of Jesus Christ. And water baptism in the pool said, I know my son has come to Christ. You know, this has been tough, wouldn't it, talking to your brother about his son? I said, that may be all right, all the outward emotions. He might have been identified as a believer with the believers, which is where a lot of message folks are. They're identified as believers with the believers. I don't want to be identified as believers with the believers. I want to be one of them. Amen. I am a believer. But until he is regenerated, born again. Now listen to this advice. I advise that young man to never marry a woman. He'll make hell on earth for her. A Branham? You mean all Branhams ain't angelic cherubims? No more than Reagans and Horns and Babs and Bentons and... So Brother Branham would actually advise his nephew to never get married until he got saved. Listen, younger ladies that's looking for a husband, you better check out that boy. Oh, he may smell like Hugo Boss. He may look so cute and so romantic. And he may, you better go a little deeper and check and see what kind of complexes he's got. You better see, can he forgive? Can he admit when he's wrong? If not, sis, we're going to be doing a lot of talking back here in this room. Why? Because marriage must have forgiveness. Church must have forgiveness. The body of Christ must have forgiveness. And a person that can't say they're wrong and admit they're wrong. Oh, my. Until that gentle, sweet, forgiving spirit of Christ comes in, then that will be a paradox in itself. To take the very nature of a boy that's bred between father and mother, and yet his intellectuals, he's trying his best to overcome it. Don't you see those who hear the truth and their conscience is penetrated constantly by the word of God and they think about it and they say, I know I've got to do better. I've got to do better. And they're trying their best. But until the power of God comes within you, release from within you a dynamo of the Holy Ghost to give you power. You can't do it. Your humanity, your complexes, your fears will override it every time. Christ will have to overcome it. And when he lets Christ in, then he's already overcome him. It'll be a perfect paradox. Do you understand what you are today? Do you understand what you are? Look at some of you in your family tree. Look at how adultery and fornication and lying and temper and this and that and the other. Does that mean it's totally gone? It may always bother you, but it no longer controls you. Amen. Brother Adam didn't say that it'd totally be gone, but it'll be brought in subjection to the new life. And you're one to see a miracle. You're one to see a paradox. Look at yourself. Look at what God's done for you, saints. You are a paradox, a perfect paradox. Thou art beautiful. Can I go on a little further? How much? Question answers. When a person realizes he has an inferior complex. Now, the person who asked this question didn't realize it, probably, but a great portion of the battle was already won. You know why? They realized they had a problem. God can't help us until we realize we are the problem. Notice, he has an inferior complex or some sort of complex. How may he overcome this? So should it be if he was an only child that caused this in his early youth? All right, now, let's consult Dr. Dobson. And let's go to Epworth and let us go to all these great universities. And let us sit down before a psychologist and a psychopath. And let's let them diagnose us and tell us some great, profound answer, okay? Here's the answer. Y'all ready? Take exactly the opposite. Praise God. I'm healed. So if you've got an inferiority complex, take exactly the opposite. If you're always wanting your way, that one little brat. Now, little brats can be a problem. But I'll tell you what can even be worse. Bigger brats. You understand, little brats grow up to be big brats. And little brats that always get their way, when they get older, they still think they should have their way. You'd be surprised, friends, how many church splits have come by brats that want their way. Has anybody seen any churches hiring a preacher? I'm a little bit worn out, a little bit aged, a little bit rough on the edges. You know, it's a modern trend now. A lot of the modern churches are getting fog machines. Y'all have heard that, I suppose. Fog machines and smoke machines and lights upon the platform. All different kinds of lights that flash all these different colors while these rock and roll bands under the auspices of Christianity are playing. Even some of the Pentecostal churches around are getting fog lights. So they're putting out all this fog and smoke machines. Y'all have one already. A smoke machine. He sets you on fire and you smoke. It ain't Winston, it's Terry. It ain't Camel, it's Dale. It ain't Pall Mall, it's Donnie. But we need it. Notice this, if you're always wanting your way and that one little brat that always wants to have everything your way, turn right back around and give everything you got the other way. Oh, well, I couldn't do that. Well, keep your complex there. The truth of it is, we don't want deliverance bad enough. If you're selfish and you want to hold to everything, then start giving away what you got. Do whatever, just go the vice versa. That's the way to overcome anything, is an antidote. My old southern mother used to say, hair off the dog back is good for the bite. Now I realize a lot of you folks ain't from Kentucky. Bless your little hearts. Y'all know what that means? Most of you don't. All right, you're fixing to get a Kentucky education. When the dog bites you, you go to the back of the dog because it's one of the most sensitive parts of the dog. You reach down, grab a hold, and pluck out hair and show it to him and say, "You bite me again, I'll do this to you." Of course, today it's animal cruelty. That's why we count with our kids. One, two. So what is it? Do the opposite. Well, you've got to complain. I've got to be made over. I've got to. You want a cure of that? Everybody giving in to you? That's what you think you need. Everybody giving in to you. Everybody sending you a card every day. Everybody texting you. Everybody emailing you. Everybody phone calling you. The opposite is you turn around and call them. But I'm the one suffering. You are with selfishness. Dear Jesus. Let me close. A few, about 3 weeks ago, I was speaking. A man standing before us, he's an Englishman. His wife is Norwegian. She's a very fine nurse. He a very fine man. So the man, I was speaking of complexes, and the man kind of resented it when I said it. Now, this is Brother Wade that we read about last night. This is a few months later. I told him a couple of years ago when I first met him, he was bothered with a murmur in his heart. He hardly wanted to believe that, I think, at first. And then finally the doctor told him. And he had the murmur in his heart. That morning he kind of been a little tore up. And when I said that, he resented it. And quickly dropped dead right on the floor. Fell out on the floor, and his wife got down to examine him. And he was gone. Okay, this is a large meeting. It's in Chicago. Brother Bam don't see everybody that's there. So we'll jump down to paragraph 9. He is alive tonight and probably attend this meeting. He's been attending them right along. And Will, I don't see him here tonight. Mr. Will, are you here? I don't. Well, he's sitting right in front of me. Now, how do you reckon that worked on a complex? So a few months prior to this, this man has a problem. He has a complex, Brother Ray mentions it, he resents it, dies. God in his mercy raised him from the dead. Now Brother Bam shares this story a few more times thereafter. The man is sitting right in front of him, but Brother Bam does not see him until he goes to looking around. Now would this have bothered some of you all in the way that Brother Bam describes your attitude toward what he had done? Well, some of you ain't going to answer me, but I'll answer for you. Some of you got up and walked out, been mad on a hornet, and would never come back. And this is what hinders our walk with God. Mr. Ware, are you here? Well, I was sitting right in front of me. Yeah, right down in front of me. I didn't even know that. Well, now here he is tonight, very healthy. Would you stand up so that people can see what God can raise the dead? So you see, if you'd have got up and stomped out, your testimony would have been plumb marred, wouldn't it? Sit still sometime. Now you think that's just an accident, or was God helping him to get rid of his complex? Maybe a little more, Brother Phil, a little bit more humiliation. See, a lot of times what we think is more recognition and more made over, when what we need is more humiliation and more embarrassment, until we're at the place we say, "God, I don't want nothing but what you want. It's not what I think, it's not what I believe, it's not how big I am, it's how big you are, and I am nothing." To be continued. Now, just in case some of y'all was thinking about going to Dollywood next weekend, I didn't say which weekend I was going to continue this. So I'm not sure if it'll be the next one, or the next one, the fourth one, or the third week in June. So you'll probably just have to come back to find out. Don't you love him? Amen. Let me share this with you. We'll go. Was she ever around someone that you just love to be around? You've had those people. What is it? It's because of their atmosphere. They create around them. And you've been a nice people, but yet you couldn't stand to be around them. Oh my goodness, get the defibrillator. I love this about this message. He's just so honest and so sincere. All the rest of us think it, but we don't say it. But he just goes ahead and says it. Why? Because of the atmosphere that people create. Oh, don't we want to be the kind of people that create an atmosphere that draws not only the presence of the Lord Jesus, but His angels, but an atmosphere that saints of God want to be around. I know I'm not a likable person. I know that. I realize I don't have a great personality. Sure not handsome. I've been told that actually by somebody who comes to church here. I know I'm ugly. It's true. I'm not handsome. I don't have a great personality. But I know it's my new birth in the anointing of God on my life that makes people want to come hear me. Because in reality, anybody in their right mind, who would come and pay to be whooped? I mean, y'all drop your tithes and your offerings in there and you come back again and again and again. And y'all are smiling, so apparently y'all as crazy as I am. So it ain't me. Brother Branham says about himself, he did not have a great personality, but what was it, the magnetism about him that drawed people, they want to be around him? The Lord Jesus. That's not just good for the preachers. It should be good for all of us. It should be good for all of us. Right? To where the Spirit of God can so bring our complexes and our fears, and it's not about us, it's about Him. Let's bow our heads together, if you would, today. Hallelujah. I wonder in the visible audience, I know a lot of you, as far as your makeup, a lot of your background, terrible things you've been through. I know some of the things that's made you the way you are humanly. Some of you scarred deep, very deep. But your scars can also be a sign of healing. The scar may be with you forever. But don't let the scars control you. Don't let your past run ins with preachers and being disappointed with ministers and this and that mark you and scar you forever that you don't even believe in preachers anymore. Oh, Brother Donnie, I've been so hurt by people that come to the church. I understand, I have too. But I ain't stopping coming. I'm keeping coming right home. Ain't nobody keeping me away from God, including myself. And we can go on, or we can hear the word through our complexes. We can come to church through our complexes. Come to church with the right attitude. Stand outside in the foyer. Somebody don't speak to you. They don't speak to you the way you think they ought to. You pull that greeting or that whatever more through your complex. Come in and sit down and sit there aggravated the whole service. Because your complex so dominates your life. Will you ever totally, completely get to a place that it won't bother you? More than likely not. But you can be to a place to where it does not control you. Will the Holy Ghost make you where that you'll want to be absolutely around everybody? It will not. We'll always have human clashes. And there's always people that you're more comfortable being around than others because of the clash of the humanity. But God does not want us to hate anyone or dislike or have an ought against them or a complex against them. We love them, we pray for them, and we go on. And one day, that person may be the first one you get to spend 10,000 years with if we would keep time in heaven. Because the oddity between you both will be destroyed. So, you beautiful, complex creature, beautiful creation of God, left in a cocklebur body with its complexities, are we going to let them control us? Or are we going to bring those complexes subject to the Word? hear the word, not through complexes. Come to church, not through complexes, but through an obedient heart. Anybody like to be remembered today before the Lord? With your heads bowed, I've got both of my hands raised up. Can you just maybe lay a hand on the person standing there by you, if you would? Let's just offer a word of prayer. Maybe yours has not been a shock by death. Maybe yours has not been so much a German mother as it was and an Irish father. Maybe yours was caused by sexual molestation when you was a child. Or maybe it was caused by constant slurs and slanders. Maybe some of you have been racially discriminated against or racially slandered and slurred, and you, whether you're white or black, it goes either way. And you let that thing control you. Oh, let God bring that under your feet. Maybe some of you, because you're from the South or from West Virginia or Virginia or whatever more, you know how people can do with that. Maybe it was your daddy that did it. You'll never amount to nothing. You're stupid. You're ignorant. But let God help you today, brother, sister. Heavenly Father, I bring this audience, me with it, Lord, into your presence today. We need you, Lord Jesus. Our fears, our inferiorities, our complexes. It's not our new birth that hinders us, Lord. It's not our soul being regenerated and washed by the waters of the Word. But it's our old human element. Wives, oh God, that have been abused by husbands. Lord, maybe some type of abuse in a home, verbal abuse, physical abuse. Lord Jesus, may you move in each heart. We've read a variety of examples today of the Spirit of God taking the prophet, being able to look down in people's souls. We know he said he was waiting for the anointing, the pillar of fire, to be able to contact their spirit. So we know the spirit of man is the communication channel of his being. Brother Branham did not contact their body or contact their soul, but he contacted their spirit. In the spirit lays the injuries. In the spirit lays the offenses, the complexes. He tells us about the twin girls, and they was ridiculed and made fun of and laughed at for wearing dresses and going to church and trying to be right. One of them was strong, the other one was weaker. Sent her into a complex. She lost her mind and went insane. Two babies growed up, come up from the same mother and father, same teaching, yet one's makeup was a little bit different. She couldn't take the pressure. The complex drove her to the place of insanity. But God, rich in mercy, sent his prophet, glory to God, to be able to contact her spirit out there in the world somewhere where her spirit was roaming. Bring it back into her body, and with it returned her right mind. Lord God, that prophet's not standing here today to be able to discern us. But we believe, according to the word, to the scripture, that the word is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So Lord Jesus, I'm not going to stand here and be an impersonator and turn my back and try to do a bunch of modern day Laodicean guessing. And guess this one's got a problem and guess that one does. We can all be honest and say we've all got issues. We've all got problems. And we all need help today, Lord. But let the word come and discern our hearts. And help us to see the end result of that discerning. That it severs our soul from our spirit, our soul from our body. And for even some of those who've questioned whether they're saved and born again, may that quote that I read be such an assurance to them as well. Just because they're fighting lust, because they would fight things of pornography, because they would fight things of the world, that doesn't mean that they're not saved. It means they need to be brought in closer obedience to the Spirit of God. Move in every heart today, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord God. Praise the Lord. We worship you right now, Lord Jesus. We bless your name. Brother Louis, maybe you can come and lead us in some songs as we just worship the Lord. Oh, praise God. Don't let the word now, don't let the word just pass through and say it's a good sermon. No, but we want to take something out of that sermon home with us that'll change us, make us better people. You see, the creating ability that God gives you as a mortal can only create through the spheres of who you are. So no matter how the dynamo, the power of God is within you to be able to create, the ability today, if you've got the Holy Ghost, the ability for you to create your own private world and live on it, is in you today. You believe that? It's in you. So why don't we do it? It's controlled by the law of faith. And use the ability to create an atmosphere around you. You can only do it as you will allow that within you to release itself. I'm not interested in another world. I'm going to let my Lord make one. He can make them better than I can. I'm not interested in creating some kind of planet somewhere, are you? But I do want to create an atmosphere around me that if folks are lost, they can sense something about my life that's different. Or if they're sick. You understand what I'm saying? Is that what we want? The height of Christianity is for others to be able to see the Lord Jesus inside of us. Our doctrine, our debates, our fussing, our arguing, all of our terminology, what good does that do? And nobody don't even know if we're saved or not. I want to have Jesus so much in me that people can say, there's one thing about Donnie, he ain't deep. He's ignorant and he's unlearned, but he has been with Jesus. He has been with Jesus. Sing, Brother Louis. Is that your desire today? Let's just worship him just a little bit.
Our God reigns.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes, our God reigns.
Oh, yes, Lord.
Oh, our God reigns. Yes, our God reigns.
Yes, he does. Sing it now.
Church, our God reigns. Oh, our God reigns. blazing on time, God. Yes, he is. Oh, he's an on time God. Yes, he is. Well, he may not come when you want him to, but he'll be there right on time. He's an on time God. Yes, he is. I know he's an on time God. Yes, he is. with bleeding stripes.
Before I let you go, we want to pray for Brother Eugene Kennedy. We have this that was turned in just a few moments ago. Please continue to pray for Brother Eugene Kennedy in Franklin Woods. They're running tests and think that he may have cancer in his lungs. It's no more than a toothache to God. You believe it? No more than a toothache. To God, it's no different. We've prayed for our brother, prayed, and we're going to pray again. And we're going to keep on praying. Till God heals him, or till God heals him. Till God heals him physically, or God heals him in a new body. Let's pray together, shall we? Lord Jesus, we want to bring our brother today before your throne of mercy and grace. Oh, Lord Jesus, I pray for your strength. You see what the doctors have said. Preliminary diagnosis, I suppose, from the way it's written. But Lord, even if he was dead, I'm going to see him this evening, but if he's dead and it's not your will for him to leave this world, as you raised that brother over in the Philippines that was killed last week in an automobile accident, and the pastor started sending texts out to the saints to pray, and the ambulance come to haul him to the morgue, and they're fixing to take him off, and the man raises up from the dead. Hallelujah to God. That ain't hard for us to believe. For we believe those who have been in the grave and their body gone back to dust and ashes and been dead for thousands of years, one day you'll speak and they'll come forth in a new body. Lord Jesus, we pray for Brother Eugene, Lord, for his wife, his sons. May you be with them. May you help them, Lord God. Move for our brother, Lord God. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we ask. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, we got so much to thank him for, don't we? Don't you appreciate him today, saints? Don't you appreciate him sending a word that helps us to understand ourselves and our brothers and sisters? Brother Louis, sing something as we go. God bless you. I love you so much. See you. See you, Lord willing, Wednesday night. Appreciate each of you coming here today. The service would not be what it is if it was not for you and your part. Don't never think that I'm the one who causes the service to be what it is. Oh, I have a portion, yes. But I guarantee you this. If I were to come over tomorrow, I'll come over in the morning, I'll tell Brother Jim and them stay in the library and let nobody come out. And I get up and I'd read these same scriptures and same quotes, and I say some of the same words that I would have said preaching to you. you would be surprised how much different it would be. But still be the truth. Still be wonderful points. The scriptures and quotes are wonderful by themselves. But it wouldn't be the same without you being here. Each of you with your lick of fire put together with mine. And together, that's what makes Happy Valley Church what it is. We don't have on the name of that sign down there, Donnie Reagan Church. You see where my name is on the sign, don't you? On the bottom. It's not Happy Valley Church of Donnie Reagan. It's Happy Valley Church of Jesus Christ. God bless you, saints. Bless you, Brother Louis. Appreciate Brother Louis.
And I've got so much to thank you for, so much to praise him for. You see, he's been so good to me. When I think of what he's done and where he's brought me from, I've got so much to thank him for. Yes, we've got so much to thank.